Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas, welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. It's January 21st, 2018. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. I sure hope that now that we're entering this third week of January, that whatever resolutions you made at the beginning of the year, you're still keeping those. You know, no matter what they were, that they were good resolutions and that you're sticking to your guns. You know, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But if you keep up with it and you say, I'm going to keep doing this, then it yields a whole harvest of good things and righteousness afterwards. We are going to be starting in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 this week. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, if you'd like to open your Bibles there and read along and follow along, that'd be great. Otherwise, just please listen up. And again, we're so glad that we can be on these broadcasting stations and to be able to share the Word of God with you. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Solomon is going to continue in the life under the sun kind of mode. The, wow, you know, everything's just gloomy and everything just seems meaningless and hopeless. But although that may be the case, there's been a couple of times in the first three chapters where there's some glimmers of brightness where it seems like, well, hey, maybe this'll work out all right. But what we need to remember is that ultimately Solomon is pointing us to a God perspective, an eternal perspective, and not just the here and now on earth, but what is coming, what God has promised that is coming for those who will seek Him, listen to Him, follow Him, and understand His will for life instead of just the pattern of this world. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1, again I looked, Solomon said, again I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. Now, Solomon saw it way back in his day, and guess what? We can still look around and see it in our day, can't we? There's plenty of oppressive things that happen in this life. There's injustice. We talked about that last week in chapter 3, that there's wickedness in the place of justice, and there's injustice, and there's bribes, and people get taken advantage of. People get beat up. People get ripped off. People get overworked and underpaid and slighted and everything else. There's all kinds of red tape when we're trying to get something accomplished, it seems like, a lot of times. And so there's plenty of oppression that's always been in the world since sin and death entered the world, since men chose to reject their God and Creator instead of walking with Him. And so Solomon says, I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed. I mean, oppression is rough. It'll make you cry. It'll get you discouraged. It'll get you depressed to the point where you just want to give up. And this is what Solomon saw. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. Did you catch that in that one verse? Solomon was more grieved about the fact that the oppressed have no one to comfort them. And, you know, that's the way it seems like under the sun, that nobody cares, that I'm doing this by myself, and the grief and the heartache can just be so great sometimes. But I want you to know this morning that there is a comforter. There is a comforter. God, can be a great comforter. And you say, well, you know, he certainly doesn't seem close to me. Well, how close are you to him? You see, people always want to blame God for everything and say, well, where are you, God? Well, are you close to him? Are you seeking him out? Are you listening to him? Is what God, our creator and the king of the universe, wants more important than what we want? Are we just fair weather friends that call on God when something goes bad and then we neglect him apathetically for the rest of the time? I mean, sure, there's no comfort in that at all. But there is great comfort when we walk with him, when there's fellowship with him. And, you know, this is what we have to remember. Maybe Solomon thought that nobody had a comforter, but hey, I know I have a comforter. Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor, the one who would come after him, who would guide the apostles into all of the truth, who would be with us and in us and be that great seal of our salvation. You know, there's plenty of comfort in a relationship with God. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and starting in verse 3, Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And so, you know, no matter what happens, God is there to comfort us. Sometimes God allows us to go through troublesome, wonderful times, so that in going through those and gaining the comfort that we can from him, that when we see somebody else going through those same troubles that we were comforted in, then not only God, but we too can come alongside people and comfort them as well. And so I want you to know there is someone who cares. God cares about us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which is only really a promise to those who love God. Okay? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, this is not some unconditional promise that applies to everybody, but it says from the Apostle Paul, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." You know, when you walk in his ways, when you do as he wants, that there's great joy in those things, and it saves you from a lot of grief. It saves you from a lot of bad choices and a lot of bad decisions that bring on a lot of the oppressive things in life. So even though Solomon saw this oppression and saw the tears of the oppressor, and it seemed like, you know, the power was on the side of the oppressors, God is there to comfort. And in fact, 2 Thessalonians, here's one more verse before we go back to Ecclesiastes. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1, in verse 6, it says that God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. You know, I look forward to that time. And even though I don't think that life is so bad and I don't feel like I have so many people oppressing me right now, hey, there may be the time that comes when I'm unjustly accused or I'm taken advantage of or I come across some injustice done to me. I know that God is the one, just like we talked about last week in chapter 3, God is the one that ultimately is going to bring both the righteous and the wicked into judgment. And God will avenge. God will take care of those things, if you would. And so even though Solomon saw that there was no one to comfort, hey, I want to let you know that there is in Jesus Christ. Hey, let's take a break and listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Chris Tomlin called "Jesus Loves Me." And yes, it's kind of an offshoot from the classic little Sunday school children's song that we all know and love and still sing as adults. But there is great comfort in knowing that Jesus is my Savior, that the Holy Spirit has come along to comfort me, and that God, my Father, loves me and has brought me out of darkness and into light. And so, praise the Lord. Let's listen to Chris Tomlin sing Jesus Loves Me. Tell you what, I never get tired of hearing that song and being reminded of the fact that Jesus loves me. He loved me so much, he gave his life for me. He laid down his life for me on the cross, and yet, praise God, he had authority to take it back up again. And Jesus rose from the dead on that third day, and he's been alive, and he will be forevermore. And my life is hidden in Christ, and I hope your life is hidden in Christ this morning. There is great comfort in that. And so let's go on in Ecclesiastes 4, starting in verse 2. You see, Solomon saw the suppression and that no one had a comforter. And in verse 2, and so he says, I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. Okay? So there again, we're back to, and discouragement. So he saw this and he said, hey, those people who are already dead, they're happier than those who are living, who are still alive. Now, here's the problem with a troubled mind and a troubled heart and a discouraged, kind of depressed kind of a soul. You see, Solomon says that here, but then over in chapter 9, ultimately when we get there, in chapter 9 and verse 4, he says, anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. And so, you know, here's Solomon saying this, but then later on he's going to contradict himself even. Remember the last part in chapter 3 and verse 21, who knows if the human spirit rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down to the earth. But then in chapter 12, he shows us that he knows exactly what happens. And when he says, remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well. That's kind of figurative language, poetic language for death. And then in verse 7 of chapter 12, he says, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. There you go. That's spot on. That's exactly right. And so if he knew that in 12, I'm sure he knew it before he started writing the book. But people who are discouraged and depressed, you know, a lot of times when they're writing about depressing things, they overemphasize, they over-exaggerate, they overkill. And so Solomon's writing, hey, I saw this oppression, I saw the tears of the oppressed, no one to comfort them. And so, hey, it's better to be dead. It's better to be dead and then alive. And how many times have you heard people say that? In fact, how many times have you said it? Okay, right? That, oh man, I wish I was dead. That, wow, life is just so hard and I've got myself in such a predicament and it just seems hopeless and I just wish I were dead. Really? That's an exaggeration, isn't it? That is an overstatement of things. It's an emotional outburst. It's not really productive. It doesn't really help anything. Because guess what? You can say, I wish I were dead, but you're not going to die. The only way that you're going to die is if you take your own life, which is a sin. It's wrong to commit suicide. And I hope you never even think about doing it. God gave you your life. You have no business taking your own life. Okay? And so I hope you'll never even consider that. But that's one possibility. The other one is that you're in an accident or someone else kills you, murders you, or otherwise. And then the other possibility is that you're just going to die naturally. But here's the thing is, it's much better to live than to be dead. Because once you're dead, that's it. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed man wants to die, and then after this, the judgment. And so, hey, before you start wishing you're dead, are you in a right relationship with God? You don't want to go out into eternity unprepared to face God. You don't want to go out into eternity to face a God who loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you, and you've ignored him, neglected him, been apathetic toward him all your life. You don't want to die yet. God is giving you time to repent of your sins, to repent of your lack of fellowship with him, and seek him and find him. And guess what? When you know the author of life, you don't want to die. You want to live, and you want to be the best example of life to the world that you can possibly be. And so, again, Solomon here is just overstating things a little bit. And then verse 3, he says, but better than both. Now, here's the interesting thing starting in chapter 4, and there's a couple of more times where he's going to visit this. He says, you know, but better than. Okay, so everything is not just meaningless. Everything's not just hopeless. There are some better things in life when you start comparing them. And so he's saying in verse 3, but better than both is the one who's never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. And there again, it's overkill, isn't it? Hey, better than the one who's oppressed and the one who has tears and no comforter, better than the one who's already dead is the one who's never been born. Well, guess what? You know, you can't make that choice anymore. Remember when Job said that too, remember? I cursed the day of my birth. I wish I had never been born. Well, you know, maybe you've said that too. But again, you can't change that. You didn't have any control over the date of your birth, did you? I didn't either. And so you can say until you're blue in the face, I wish I'd never been born. The fact is you were. And so quit saying I wish I'd never been born, right? That, you know, you are born. You've seen the evil that's under the sun, just like Solomon did. It's really all about your attitude and your perspective and what you're living for. Amen? And, you know, frankly, without knowing the author of life, I can understand Solomon's perspective. I can understand people's perspective to say it's just hopeless and it's not worth it and I just want to die and I wish I'd never been born. Yeah, without God, without his promises, without his comfort, I'd probably feel that way too. And anytime I'm tempted to feel like that, I just need to be reminded that my God is greater. I serve an awesome God. My God is able to comfort me, to lift me up, to see me through, to come along beside me and give me a way of an escape, and to know that no matter what happens, you can be unjust, you can take advantage of me, you can even kill me. But all you're going to do by doing that is just draw me closer to God one way or another. And so let's listen to our next song this morning. This is another song by Chris Tomlin called Our God is Greater. And I hope that you know that and you'll never forget it no matter what happens to you. And if you don't know God this morning, if you've been running away from him instead of running toward him with open arms, hey, I want to encourage you. No, I want to challenge you, even beg you. Please seek God. Seek after that relationship that will make life so much different. He'll dry away the tears. He'll wipe the tears from your eyes. He'll raise you up to walk in newness of life. If you'll seek him, you'll find him. So let's listen to Chris Tomlin again sing this morning, Our God is Great. All right, we're back this morning, and we are almost out of time. So I want to wrap this up this morning. We're going to continue in Ecclesiastes to see Solomon's perspective, and then hopefully give you a better perspective that you can have in Christ. We're the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we'd love to have you come and worship God with us, to seek him, if you would, to find him, to hear his word preached and taught so that you have something to build a solid faith on, the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We just started studying through the book of Revelation. If you're interested, come on out for that on Wednesday night. You can also find out more about us on thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. There you can find all kinds of different things about the church and what's going on there. We are very excited, Las Vegas, to be welcoming Tom Weaver to preach a revival meeting for us, to come in and preach and teach us the Word of God. We had him a couple years ago. It was a great meeting. We're looking forward to him and his wife Beth coming and joining us again. And so we want to encourage you to come out for that. That's going to be February the 4th through the 7th. We'll have details on our website and flyers and everything else to let you know about it if you'll come and join us on Sundays or Wednesday nights. We're just really excited about that happening, and we're praying for it. We just hope it'll be a real blessing. We want to invite you to come. We want to invite you to come to church meetings. We want to invite you to come to this. We're excited about all that God's doing here. So God bless you, and keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.